paragraph, and then we'll see what the message is that we're here to get today. Because we're here to get a message today. So I will step back and let God lead the way. I will step back and let love lead the way. I will step back and let Him lead the way. There's a way of living in the world that's not here. There's a way of living in the world that's not here. There's a way of living in the world that's not in the world. There's a way of living in the world that is not in the world. This is the last thing. I don't think it's a message.
No,
just a person. We saved it for you. There's a way of living in the world that's not in the world. The best way to read the Course in Miracles is not so much just analyzing the sentence, it's more or less, in a sense, letting yourself hear it. Like me saying, there's a way of living in the world that's not here. Okay, we could just let that slide. Or we could go, there's a way of living in the world that's not in the world. So there's a way of living in the world that the world doesn't teach you. There's a way of living in the world that the world doesn't teach you. But it'll seem like it's actually here in the world. So there's a way of living in the world that's not of the world. It seems like it's in the world. You don't change appearance. So there's a way of living in the world where you don't change the way that you look, but the way you can tell is you smile more frequently. So there's a way of living in the world that you smile more frequently even though you look the same. Most people want to change the way they look and don't smile. They want to, right? Most people are much more about their appearance than they are about smiling. And the Course says, well, actually, as a way of living in the world, it's not really about your appearance, but the way you're living here is making you smile more. Then he says, your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet. And this is my favorite part of this paragraph. And the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own.
Wow.
I love that statement. And the ones who walk the world. I am experiencing so much of what the Course teaches. And it's so much better than figuring the Course out. I'm so glad that whatever shift happened within me, that now it's shifted to the ideas showing me that they are true. Like he said in the workbook, you know, if you apply the ideas will show you that they're true. I like that. I don't show you that it's true. Ideas will show you that they're true. And I mean people like that all the time, where I just go into different social situations, even business situations, and I always run into somebody, we just recognize each other. And I can talk to them directly like I do in here to you. And we just meet. And we just recognize each other. And it's happening so much that it's becoming the norm. That wherever I go, if I go in the grocery store, I'm going to meet the guy in the grocery store that studies the new earth. You know what I'm saying? It's like wherever you go, you start to recognize each other. And it's not in a lot of talking necessary. He said, the last sentence says, yet those who haven't yet perceived the way. And here's another powerful statement. He said, those who haven't perceived the way yet will also recognize you, but they'll believe that you are like them, the way you were before. Okay, so there are 3 points in this paragraph then. Number one, there's a way of living in the world that's not in the world. If you're doing it, you're not so much concerned about your appearance anymore as you find that you smile frequently. And the people who are like you recognize you, but the people who aren't like you, they think you are like them. And that's very important. That the people who are not awake to new thought, they see you, but they don't think you're a new thought person. They think you are just like them. And I think that what used to create some drama for me when I got on this path was that I would assume that just because I was getting these principles, that meant the people around me were supposed to be getting these principles. And so I'd get frustrated because I'd come to a class, but then my auntie was still as crazy as she was before I read the book. Because I came to the class, my mama was supposed to change. My sister was supposed to change. Because I'm the one coming to the class, but they're the one supposed to change. Could it possibly be I'm the one that comes to the class, or I'm the one that's supposed to change? Because I'm the one who heard the concepts. Do you find yourself doing that too sometimes? Just because you're studying, you would think it's not working because you still see some people that you know acting the same way. Okay, in the courses, let's take it one step further. They think that you are like them. Because he says, like you used to be. like you were. Okay? All right? So any questions about that, the points in the first paragraph?
Are they recognizing you because that's the way they think?
Yes.
So they're in their box and they think you're in that box?
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. And you used to be.
Not because you're still that way.
Not because they don't even see you in terms of the way you are now. All you have to do is go visit family. And at whatever age you are, I am, you know what I'm saying, I'm 57 years old, but when I go home, I'm little man. Always. I'm still my older brothers and sisters younger. You know what I'm saying? It's like a trip. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'll be getting Social Security in a minute now. Y'all gonna have to at some point realize that I've grown up. Ah, so funny. It does get you back in touch with your child, with your inner child.
Yeah.
You know, because you really revert back to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And then on another level, he says, you know, that they believe you're like them as you were before. Because it's important for us to realize that the Course says we only see the past. So everybody you're looking at that looks like they're not where you think you are, 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 then they're just the way you used to be. Because there's not the two ways to be. One is a separate. You know, I'm responsible for you to blame. So if you know that there was a time when you looked at things as if it was the external controlling the internal. And so there are people that are still like that, but when they see you, they will think you're still that way. They just, people project, it's hard for people to see people beyond how they see things. So if I'm more loving than you're capable of being, if I give you a lot of love, you're going to become suspicious of me. You're going to say, no, you know, he told me I was pretty 3 times, but now he's up to 10 times. What's up? You know what I'm saying? Because I got a 3-time limit in any 24-hour period. You can tell him I look good 3 times between 9 and 7 o'clock. Over that, you're lying little pig that you're trying to get. You have to get some work. If you went to the 4th, I love you. I know you want something. Yeah, you probably do. Because you probably like me. That's how I know you want something. What? Because you like me. But we won, you know. All right, so the Course gets funnier and funnier to me. My dream is one day being like, just go to a comedy club and just crack people up with it. But they also be getting the truth at the same time, you know what I'm saying? Which is really funny. It's like, it's only when people get serious about the Course and they don't see the humor. Okay. Anybody, somebody else take their hand up. Anything, any other? Yeah.
I was just going to say, Stuart Weil calls it being a fringe dweller.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of. You know, you're out there, not really in the world.
We're fringes.
Fringes.
Yeah. We're the fringes of God. Anybody else? Any thoughts about that first part? What about the part where it says that those who are like you will recognize you? Any of you also having that experience?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the funniest place is the cricket store. Under 2 minutes, we're talking about God.
Uh-huh.
While you get in my phone.
Uh-huh. In the cricket store.
In the cricket store.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that proves the truth right there. Now, the next sentence, anybody else before I go to the next sentence? Like I said, Wednesday's cool. I love questions because that lets me know what you need clarification on. Because sometimes I forget that because I've studied it so long, things that don't bring up resistance in me still bring up resistance. It's the first time a person's heard it. And so sometimes I just need you to say what's going on, and I can maybe give you another way of looking at it, because it's probably something that may be startling you. It's not startling me, so I don't know to elaborate on it.
Oh, one of the things is, I think right now the people that are not like you and even the bugs become more aggressive because even though they don't know what you've changed,
mm-hmm.
they feel something's changed.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So they become more aggressive to you. Instead of being more nice, and you end up reacting the same way, so that triggers them more.
Right, and they're trying to get you to be like you once were, which means you would have gotten into that dynamic.
And they don't like it where you are right now.
Right, and they also represent your hidden doubts and feelings about what you're doing, also because it's new to you.
My mom told me yesterday I'm an ostrich.
Well, that's...
Because you're an ostrich.
Well, that's... Okay, what that... Oh, okay.
Since you left Mexico City, everything is wrong. Your father... Aunt had an accident, somebody had cancer, and you're an ostrich. I said, Mom, even though I will be there, it will be happening. Because that's happening. Mm-hmm. Happening lately. Mm-hmm.
So she gives you so many opportunities to recognize cause for love. She's trying to get you out of here. So she's trying her best to get you out of here. She's giving you endless opportunities to see things differently. I'm telling you, it's like that's why we need to be grateful to her for her loving thoughts and her insane thoughts. But I said, both capable of bringing love into your awareness. And they're both capable of making you more aware of the truth. Because think about it, you're thinking about the truth as you're describing what she did. So she's actually making you more adamant about the path that you're on. So she's actually helping you on your course.
Mm-hmm. And but you can't hang me up and call me again and say, you're this and this and I'm not...
Well, that's her ego. You have to be able to separate. At some point, you have to separate your mama from her ego. Mm-hmm. And what you talk, I call it the robot. You know, it's like, you know, you're talking to the robot. It's programmed, and it's not paying. It doesn't hear anything that you're saying. You know, it's just saying what it was programmed to say. So, you could entertain yourself if you wanted to by trying to use reason with her. But, or you could just realize that's not her, that's the robot. You know, and realize that there is a her behind that programming, and you can talk to that part of her without words. And that's what you want to do. You want to talk to the, you want to bypass the ego if at all possible. Like, when people first get in the course, it's usually about how can I talk to this person and its personality and get them to see things. And then as you begin to wake up, you realize that the best thing you can do is not engage the ego as much as you can. And wait till the person is in the same space. And you can tell when they're in the same space by how peaceful they are. You know, if they walk up to you already upset, they're already in their pain body, they're already in their ego body. So they're not there. The fact that when the person gets upset, they're not there. That you can't worry and be present. You can't be depressed. Because worry and depression in and of itself is reflecting on the past and the future. You can't get there. There's no thing of being depressed and being in the now. So if I walk up to you and I'm already depressed, then I'm not present. Now you can engage me in a conversation as you want, but don't have a lot of high hopes for change. You know, it might be good, it's loving, and I found that when you do that, people express their ego, then behind that usually some sanity. But the average person doesn't let a person express their ego. They try to fix them, they stop them, they try to correct them, instead of just letting them go ahead and just being that feeling and let it pass through.
One other thing,
the
ego is very resistant to love.
Oh, totally. Okay. The ego is a part of you that doesn't want love.
And I think when you change, you're more receiving to love and being able to spread love. Mm-hmm. Everybody tells me, just send her love, and I do, and I tell mom, I love you, even though you're going through it.
You're still talking to the robot, though.
Okay.
And so, therefore, you don't get the reaction that you're looking for because your mother isn't present. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, I don't care how nice you are, if you go to the mental institution and you talk to the guy who thinks he's George Washington, you know, it's not going to be very effective. You know what I'm saying? Because he's crazy. Okay? And your mother's crazy. And I'm crazy. And all of our egos are crazy. And everybody doesn't. They're crazy. And it's like we're expecting sanity out of crazy minds, insane thinking. And that's what. And I believe me, when I say this stuff, believe me, I'm in the learning process too. I'm not saying any of this from the mountaintop bull. Okay. not at all. The only difference is I just had more time telling myself this, so I'll go to that solution a little bit faster than maybe somebody that's new to this. But as long as you see me, I got an ego, and it's telling me the same stuff. And again, I want to emphasize what I've noticed is that people in the beginning, like you in the beginning of the course and really trying to get this, they usually go through what you're going through, which is the opposition that appears to come from the outside world that is a reflection of their own doubts because it's new to them. So I promise you, when you accept it for yourself, your mother is going to back off. Without, as if almost like magic, you'd be like shocked. Either that, or you'd be in a place in your mind where you don't allow yourself to be affected by it. Either one of those are wins.
Well, I have to tell you, it didn't affect me yesterday. Mm-hmm. And like you told me, Mom, it's the first time you can talk to her and she was rotten to you and nothing changed. Your mood, your anger.
Good. Amen. Amen. That's what she's there for. She's your worthy opponent. Everybody attracts worthy opponents somewhere on the spiritual path. I guarantee you, you will. You're going to attract the person or the situation that's going to see if you believe what you say you believe. Where you have to use what you know to deal with that situation. How else will you know you're there? So we all create those kind of situations. It's not God testing us. It's just us seeing what we believe, getting in touch with our reality. The next part, this next paragraph says some stuff that... Now, the Course defines an illusion. One definition of an illusion is a false idea. And another definition of an illusion is something that you want to be true, that you make it true, even if it's not true. Which I think is cool. So then the Course says the world is a false perception. So the world, from a Course perspective, when it says world, like I came for the salvation of the world, people like it, oh my God, does that mean I have to go over to Bosnia? You know, it's like, but then the Course is always talking about perception. And when you forget that, your ego will take you for a ride. It's always talking about perception. So the world, it says, is a false perception. The world as we know it is a false perception. It's a world that's not based on the idea of unity, oneness, and love. Okay. And then it says an illusion is a false idea. So the world's illusion is just another way of saying that the false perception is an illusion. See, it said it made it different. The false perception is an illusion. Or you could say the world is a false perception. So whenever you read in the Course and it doesn't really, it takes you in any kind of fear, it means you're putting your definitions that you learned from the world on the Course. You're not letting the Course define itself. You're defining it. So it says the world is an illusion. Now, then it says, well, what does that mean? You could always say that. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means those who choose to come to the world are seeking for a place where they can be false ideas and avoid their own reality. Yet when those who choose to come to the world find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let the reality, the truth, God, lead the way. What other choice is really theirs to make? To let illusions, which are false ideas, walk ahead of the truth is madness. But to let illusions or false ideas sink behind the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity. So, let's go back. Because every sentence in the Course is giving us a very powerful universal law. Okay, so it told us the world is an illusion, those who choose to come to it. He says, we came here seeking for a place where we could be illusion. So the Course is saying that the world or false perception is a place where you come when you're trying to avoid the truth. When he said that, this world made complete sense to me. Because it would be the perfect place to be if you never wanted to hear the truth. If you never wanted to experience unconditional love. It's perfect. And that's what he's saying. It's such an obvious answer that I didn't get it for years. Why are you here? Well, you came, as a soul, you came to a place where you didn't want to deal with the truth. You wanted a fantasy. You wanted an illusion. He says you wanted to avoid. You're here to avoid love, avoid God, avoid the truth, avoid reality. He says, but when you find your own reality is even here, which happened, we came here, and then somewhere along the line, for whatever reason, we started to realize that the truth was even here. We started to recognize the truth. And then he says next. He says, then you step back and you let it lead the way. First I was caught up in the world. Then I started to recognize the truth even here. Now I'm trying to let the God or the truth lead the way. So I came here for one reason, realized something new, and I'm trying to let this something new guide me. And in the Course, what has it in? It says, what are the choices yours to make? To let the false ideas, to let illusions, you can just say false ideas, to let the false ideas walk ahead of truth is madness, which is what we do sometimes. It's like, now we have the truth, but we still let what the world teaches us be what we primarily think is true. Like we're here, I am sustained by the love of God, and then you think that you're not going to be taken care of if you don't have a job. See the difference. It's like I got the truth, but I'm turning around and I'm letting the illusion still lead me. Mm-hmm. Somebody that really loves me would love me regardless of my physical appearance or anything about that. Okay, but I still think that somehow or another if I don't look a certain way, then I'm not going to get love. So I got the truth, but I'm still letting the illusion lead me. And he says that's madness. That's madness. He says, you got to let the illusion sink behind the truth. So what does that look like? That would be, I am responsible for my experience here. Now let me look at anything else that's going on in my life from that perspective. I put the truth first. Now I deal with my daughter. Now I deal with my son. Now I deal with my child. Now I deal with my job. Now I deal with my... But first I'm going to say, I'm sustained by the love of God. I'm responsible for how I see this. I want another way to look at this. Then I deal with it. You put the truth in front of the illusion instead of going, oh, I know I'm sustained by the love of God, but I don't know how I'm going to make it. You know what I'm saying? It's like we put the illusion before the truth. And so that's the second thing. He said, but if you let the truth go first, he said, that's what you mean by sanity. That's sanity. Like, I'm sane when I sit here and go, I want the peace of God. That's the most important thing to me, is the peace of God. I want peace more than anything. That's sane. That's sane. But if I put my car broke down before my peace, that's insane. If I put somebody pulled out in traffic in front of me before my peace, that's insane. See, now I'm letting the illusion be in front of the truth. And that's what I do. I read the truth and then I still put it behind the world. That's the easy way to put it. What the world teaches me is first. And then I'll entertain these ideas. I am a body and I'll entertain the idea that I'm not. I am a man and I'll entertain the idea that I'm more than a man. So I start with the illusion, then I put the truth, try to put the truth behind it. Instead of going, I am spirit, and I have a body as a communication device and a way to join. See, instead of me being my communication device and a way to join. And the special relationship is the ego's chief weapon for keeping us asleep. Because it's where we least practice the truth. It's in the special relationship. It's where we become bodies with another body, feeling separate from that body, trying to possess that body, trying to make sure that body does not extend to any other bodies. So the whole nature of the special relationship is done by the ego. It's the ego's chief way of keeping us asleep. What am I mad? I'm mad because of what the special person or situation did last night. Now, that's not the only... Now, the Holy Spirit can use our special relationships to absolutely bring us to the awareness of God and the truth in ourselves. But the Course describes how the loving mind uses a relationship and it has a different approach. And so I had to learn that approach. And that's and the Course is giving us two approaches. The fearful approach and the loving approach. When you first read it, what happens is you become acquainted with the ego and you become almost like an ego expert. You go, oh, yeah, that's my ego, da 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 da. But you're totally unacquainted to the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's like you can say what the ego does, but then you go, what would the Holy Spirit do in that situation? But see, it's just as much explaining specifically what the Holy Spirit or the loving mind would do as specifically as it's described in the ego. But at first, I could hear the ego stuff, but I couldn't really hear the Holy Spirit stuff. Now I hear the Holy Spirit stuff more than I do the ego stuff.
How did you get there?
Continuing to read and study until I learned both of them. It's like learning the language and then speaking it to other people who speak the language, because the Course defines itself as a language, and I find if you look at it as a language, it's easier to do it. If you would approach it like this is a language instead of this is something for me to figure out, like what's hello in Spanish?
Hola.
What is it?
Hola.
Hola. Okay, now I'm not going to analyze that. Now if I want to say hello to somebody, I say hola. See what I'm saying? So learning was nothing but accepting what she said. Mm-hmm. And you go, why was it Olaf? And what makes it Olaf? And who created Olaf? And where did Olaf come from? See, that's the way we do it, right?
Real?
Okay, so Olaf, you're saying Olaf real? You know, how do you do safe Olaf? You know, so, yeah, right. And so that's the way the Course is. It's just giving us the definition, you know, and then we want to analyze it. Like you said Olaf, he says the world is an illusion. Why is it an illusion? How is it an illusion? See, we do that instead of just going, okay, this is a false idea. See, we don't, when you accept it, it is learned. That learning is accepting, and we think learning is analyzing because that's the way we were taught. Mm-hmm. But you learn one and one was two the day you accepted that one and one was two. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. The day I accepted that these were eyeglasses was the day I learned they were eyeglasses. But I didn't have to figure that out. They just told me, this is an eyeglass. Okay, this is eyeglasses. I didn't go to college to find out about that. And the Course is saying that's what you got to do with all of it. It's like, understand that it's a language. And so we have to make the decision whether or not we're going to let the truth that we say we are studying be the first thing, or whether we're going to let the ego be the first thing. And since I'm used to my ego being in charge, then my ego is going to try to do everything it can to keep itself in charge. And so when your ego wants to have a good buffet dinner, it'll say, call your mama. Okay, you know what I'm saying? It's like your ego ready to have Thanksgiving in the ego world. You ready to get the turkey? He said, call your mama to take her. You know you need to call your mama. And when your Holy Spirit self wants to be fed, then it's going to tell you, you know, call your mother when it feels peaceful. Or it would tell you to send that peace extend from my mind to yours without picking the phone up. Mm-hmm. Or it would say to you, whatever she said yesterday was just a call for love. She's really in fear right now. She doesn't recognize the truth, and it's up to you to remember who she is for her. See, I only knew to say that to you because I had, this is what it told me. You see what I mean? So the world wouldn't have told me to say that.
No.
You see what I mean? So if you're really getting the truth, you're not going to what the world taught you. That's one of the ways you can always tell you're not sincere about your path. If your first explanation of anything is they, if that's the first thing come out of your mouth, is they, then you know you're unconscious. And you're just like them. You're not different from them at all, because guess what? That's what they would say. They. And you're saying they. It doesn't make you no more spiritual because you're saying it from a Course in Miracles perspective. You know, that's what the ego tells. Well, you're saying they, but you're coming from a higher spiritual realm. You know, you're saying they because you're higher and you're just pointing out their problem. You know, but you're really not like that anymore. As long as she upsets you, then you believe what she says. As long as it upsets you, you believe it. As long as it upsets you, you believe it. As long as it upsets you, you believe it. As long as it upsets you, you believe it. As long as it upsets you, you believe it. As long as it upsets you, you believe it. All right, let's try another paragraph. We got two down. Okay, what did the first one tell us? Well, the people who you can party with will recognize you. That's what I saw. That's my little paraphrase. It's been working out great. It's been working out really good, man. Yeah, it's like, I recognize you. I can party with you. That's right. Let's get down tonight. Get down tonight. That's what's cool about teaching people close to your age. You just say stuff like, get down tonight, and they go, yeah, yeah. That's funny. You know. Okay. Then it says, "This." I love this, of course. This is a simple choice. Look, this is the simple choice. Let's see the humor. This is a simple choice we make today. The mad illusion, now check this out, the mad illusion will remain a while in evidence for those to look upon who chose to come and haven't yet rejoiced to find they were mistaken in their choice. People who don't realize that they are mistaken in their choice of choosing the illusion cannot learn directly from the truth. See, your mother can't learn directly from the truth because she's denying the truth. So when you say something to her from the truth, she can't learn directly. That's why God doesn't teach us directly. You know, it's not like some divine intelligence just appears before us and all of a sudden just tells us. Notice that. It's very subtle. You got to learn how to meditate. And then you got to read. And you see what I'm saying? It's like to me, the truth comes very subtly. It's not something that, you know, because if it came to us directly, we would deny it. Just like just use your mother as an example, but we all got that kind of, I got your mama in me.
Okay.
I'm serious. And you got your mama in you. You know you got your mama. That's why you got to get straight with her. You got to see her right. You know what I'm saying? Because you got her DNA pulsating around in your body. Doesn't it make you feel good? Oh, that's so good, I think. Oh, that's funny. We all have it. That's what I'm saying. It's not anything that applies to all of us. But I just think about that sometimes. Sometimes the people that have the biggest challenge, we have to get they're actually the people at the level of the world that's actually, we share the same gene pool. Oh, man. So it says, they can't learn directly from the truth because they deny that it's so and so what? They need a teacher. Now, this is what a true spiritual teacher is. It's a person who sees another person's madness. We're good at that part, right?
Yeah.
We're pretty good at going, he's crazy. Okay, that's seeing another person's madness. And who still can look beyond the false idea, the illusion, or the ego, that's all the same, to the simple truth in the person. So people who can learn directly from the truth because they still believe their bodies and to completely believe that they're separate and victims and guilty, they can't. They need a teacher. They need somebody or some part of them that sees their ego, sees the insanity, but can also look beyond it to the truth in them. Somebody that knows that even though your mama's acting that way, she's still got Christ within her. She's still got love within her. The truth is in there. It's buried, but it's in there. You might be digging like, you know, down to the center of the earth, but it's there. You know what I'm saying? And what you're digging down through is nothing but the layers of past learning that she and past experience that she's had, because she's saying everything based on her perceived past. So that's why she feels so right about it, because her experience really validates her viewpoint, no matter how warped it may be. It makes sense in her box.
Okay.
And we all, and that's what the Course is saying, we're all inside these boxes, and we don't realize it. And he says, and if you the picture, the box, it's almost like when you go into a restaurant or something, if you ever done this, and they have mirrors on the wall, and at first you think you're looking at another part of the restaurant. But the truth is, you see that it's just your own reflection, but it looks real and it looks bigger. You know, that's what we are about everything. We got mirrors all around us thinking there's somebody over there, but it's just your own reflection that you're looking at. I haven't seen my face in my whole life as much as you all have seen it in a week. Literally. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for a mirror, I would have pictures or whatever I would, you know, take. Now, I would have no idea of what I look like. And then the Spirit told me one day, there's a reason for that. You know, if everything around you is a mirror, then the truth is that you're getting a direct lesson of the fact that everybody's you. Because look at the faces you can see. Those faces are your face. You know, it's like if you really want to know what you look like, look around you. This is what you look like. You know, which is deep when you think about it. You know, if you were to really go spend a day looking at it like everything around you was a three-dimensional mirror of you, you would have the best day you ever had. You would be shocked at how smooth that day would go for you just from looking at it that way. Never say anything to anybody about it. You just walk in the room and you look at it that way. You don't have to say anything to anybody. Your day will be completely different. You'll be shocked. I'm telling you, that's the plan to have this stuff. Yeah. You know, it's just like right now, if I look at you all as actually being three-dimensional reflections of aspects of my being, I immediately have a different, even just that much, I have a slightly different energy toward you than if I think you're separate from me, you know. Doesn't mean we have to take each other home. It don't mean we have to go out to dinner. Because that's the stuff the ego body illusion does anyway. So it's never really about the behavior. It's about your perception. So I can forgive a person and never pick up the phone and call them and have a processing with them. Because all I have to do is let it go in my mind. Because that's the only place that I'm just making me mad anyway. It's in my mind. I'm mad about what my daddy did in my mind. So if I forgive my daddy, that's nothing but me letting go of that focus in my mind. It doesn't have anything to do with calling him, unless I'm led to do that. But I've forgiven everybody I know because I'm not attacking any of them. And I'm not trying to block their happiness. So if you're not attacking anybody and you're not doing anything to block their happiness, then it's done. So just go ahead and just give yourself a break and move on. Even if you're having some thoughts to come up in your mind that's not too pleasant, I don't care. Look, you all can think about shooting me as much as you like. But just don't physically pick up a gun and do it. That's what I'm trying to say. Is that if you want to carry me around in your mind upset with me, that's cool. You're still not doing nothing to me. So you're not really making any karma for yourself, negative karma for yourself, because you're not doing nothing to me.
But you are hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You are taking your own peace away. Absolutely. But I tell you, if you realize that you're going to stop, so that's going to be handled too. Because there's no way you can really truly recognize you're doing it to yourself and keep doing it. It's impossible. It's like you may do it for a while, which makes you think you're still into it. But you ought to pull, you ought to pull the plug on your ego. Your egos are just as good as done, over with, kaput. Because you all said the one thing that the ego never wants you to say, what if I look within myself and I didn't see any sin? What if I look within myself and maybe I'm not as bad as I thought? What if I look within myself and I'm really okay? What if I look within myself and I really do deserve to be happy? So you're asking the question the course that the ego would never ask. So your ego is gone. You're just dealing with the residue of it. And it's still fooling you because it shows up, because you still think your ego rules you, but it doesn't. You pull the plug on your ego as soon as you pick this book up. It takes a while, like those old-time TVs, you know, you cut them off and it took a minute for the picture to fade off the screen. But you knew you had turned it off, so you would still be getting upset because you saw the image of Captain Kangaroo. Because you know you cut it off.
I pardon my interruption. Is Pastor David in?
I don't think he is.
Okay. Mm-mm.
Okay, now he's going to describe, okay, so the Holy Spirit is the part of us that can see our ego, see our insanity, but also recognize the truth. And you're probably discovering that in yourself, that there's a part of you that does the insane stuff, and there's another part of you that's like looking at it and telling you about it, witness. It's like looking at what you're doing, but it's also telling you, well, you know, that's a call for love, that's not really real. You should, you know, to tell you the truth. Now, your ego may not be ready to do it yet, but it's telling you the truth. Because you still listen to your ego more than your spirit, so you might still go do what your ego says. Because your ego has built a world. Has built up a whole world to validate itself. So it's understandable that we get pulled into it sometimes. Because guess what? It looks real, and it feels real, and it tastes real, and it smells real. You know what I'm saying? The physical senses make us think everything the ego is teaching us is true, but the Course in Miracles saying now we're going to let the Holy Spirit take over your physical senses. And so you still think you're in a body, but this body will be smelling cool stuff, seeing cool stuff, feeling cool stuff, you know, in a relationship with somebody that they really do feel innocent with, on a job that they really do feel like they're serving a purpose. You know what I'm saying? You know, you become happy where you are, and then you move to the next level. The Course says, we're not ready to go straight from I'm worried about everything to bliss consciousness. That would freak us completely out. So what happens is that you go from unhappy here to happy here to waking up to something that's better than here. So you don't skip over happy here. And that's what people don't want to study about, because they think it's calling for them to skip over happy here. They be honest. They're thinking that the loss of the physical would be a catastrophe. So they think the truth is asking them not to enjoy the pleasures of the body or the things in the body or whatever. And it's not. It's just saying stop feeling guilt about it. Stop punishing yourself about it. That's what I want you to do. Stop hurting yourself with it. It's okay to eat that cake, but if you're going to make yourself feel guilty about every little calorie you think is going in your mouth, you need to get that cake as far away from you as you possibly can. Unless you want to feel guilty. In that case, you smash your face into the cake. Because you want to feel guilty. You know you're going to feel guilty. You're going to beat yourself up for the rest of the day about that slice of cake. Now, what part of your mind told you to eat that cake? You know it's your ego. Why? Because you didn't give yourself no pleasure out of it. You didn't give yourself any peace out of it. That's all you need to know it was your ego that directed you to eat the cake. Now, the cake is neutral. The cake isn't bad. The cake isn't good. Cake is cake. But you're going to determine how you feel about it. You know. So that's deep, man. He says, the Course says, everything in the world is neutral. Everything in the world is neutral. It's not good. It's not bad. He says, but we don't have any neutral thoughts about anything. But you don't have a neutral thought. There's nothing you can go, well, I'm neutral about that. No, you're not. There's no such thing as being neutral about anything. Either you value it or you don't, or you give it some energy or you don't, or you love it or you fear it, or you join with it or you separate from it. You're not neutral about anything. So when somebody says that to me, it's hilarious. It's like, yeah, right, you're neutral. You're just not in touch with your feelings. You're pretending you don't feel what you feel. You're lying to yourself. But you're innocent. We're just innocent little liars, man. I'm the cutest little liar you ever seen. You know, you go dance with me, and we can lie while we dance. I got some liars, some of my best lies doing dances. How about you? I'll be with you forever. I love you forever. I'll never let you go. I'll always be in your life. I hear so many lies in the arms of somebody while we were doing something.
and they think I told a few myself. So I just hell, it would have never happened if I had to lie. You know, truth doesn't go over big in this plane. You know, I saw you walking down the street and I just had to have your body right there. You can't walk up and tell a woman that. You know. Well, I appreciate your honesty. So let's go. Where you want to go? Let's do it now. That doesn't happen. It's funny. He's like, I want you to be honest. Well, make it pay off. Show me the advantage of it. I'll be glad to do it. You know? Oh boy, it's a funny place, I'm telling you. This is a hilarious place. So we know why we came here. We came here because we came here to avoid God. But then we got here, we found God. So now we're letting God live. And that's the part that seems unbelievable. Until you work back from the effect, which is, okay, if that sounds preposterous, then why are we not in a world that looks like we're surrounded by love and truth? That's what he's saying. You know, when you turn on the TV, are you hearing what we're studying? Or are you hearing, okay, that's what I'm saying. He said, well, then that would make sense if we create our reality, but we're in a reality where the truth isn't reflected back to us, but we create our reality, right? Then we had to have created it that way. So for some reason, we wanted to create something that wasn't a reflection of the truth. That would be the obvious answer if we are the creators of our experience. If we're not, this wouldn't make any sense. But if we're claiming we're responsible, we create, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then if that's true, and we're in a world that's just like the world that we're in, we must have had a hand in creating it. So, and if it's not telling us the truth, then we must not have wanted the truth, or we would have created it. But now we're beginning to receive the truth, but that's only because, like you said, we've changed our mind, and now we want the truth to be our guide. That's only why we're sitting up here and other people aren't. You were in the illusion, and you went, you know what? You know, it's like being asleep in some dookie. And you wake up, and you go, and everybody you know is still asleep. They've gotten used to the smell. And you first appalled, right? You go, oh, my God, I can't believe we're in horse manure. You know what I'm saying? And then you get out of it. But the first step is going, I'm in horse manure. Okay, when you wake up to the truth, that's what you do at first. You look at the world and go, this is insane. What in the hell am I? And then everybody says, but look at the sunset. Look at the pretty mountain. And you're like going, what? Do you realize where you are? You're in a place where it looks like you can lose what you love. You're in a place where it looks like you can be hurt. You're in a place that looks like you die. And you're going to tell me it's all about the sunset? You know, and then the course it says, you know, your creator would not put you in a place in which you could accidentally be hurt. It isn't like you've taken care of yourself. If I love you and I created you, I would create it where you couldn't hurt yourself even if you tried. I wouldn't set it up where you had to learn something to make sure you weren't hurt. So the Course says, just the nature of this world should let us know God didn't create it as we see it. As we see it. That God didn't create it. He said, just the whole nature of this ought to be enough to go, well, I know this couldn't have been created by God. Why? Because God wouldn't create the kind of pain and suffering that we see. So I know that something's up. I need to check, find out what's up. But this can't be the ultimate reality. Why? Because there's too much pain in it. That's what the Course says. That's what a sane man would say. A sane man would go, God just wouldn't do this to me. My creator wouldn't do this to me. So something's going on that I need to get in touch with.
I don't know if it's my own perception or if it really is. I mean, with books like the Toll book and, you know, that the consciousness, though, is raising, and there are more people that are more conscious.
And we're recognizing our own. That's why we watch the Oprah broadcast, and there are other people that don't. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what it's showing us. It's showing us we're never alone. That if you really are about it, I don't know about you, but I wish there was more people into this. But to tell the truth, you know, it's like, if let's just say that there are 50 people that's into it, that's still more people than you can spend time with. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it has to be no millions of people into what you're into in order for you to have a sense of connectedness. That's another ego trick. The Course says all you need is one. And that's what a relationship should be about. That if I'm going to have a relationship with you, the purpose of that is for us to keep that recognition going and keep each of us feeling safe and innocent going. That's what we're really together. And in the process of doing it, we might go to a Broadway play. We might go take a trip to Paris. But we just do it sanely. So when we go through customs, it'll go smooth. Or we have peace about whatever's happening in customs. Or we got over there. And, you see what I'm saying? It's like you still be here, but you won't be living like nobody here. And so your experience won't be the same as anybody here. But they think you're just like them, which is really great, because that way they don't mess with you, because they think you're like them. Yeah, and it feels safe. So if I'm with Uncle Henry, who wouldn't know anything about this, but he loves fishing, then I'm going to ask him, when was the last time he went fishing, and how cool was the fishing? Because to join with somebody, all you have to do is just share one idea. It doesn't have to be the truth. It can just be any minute that y'all don't have separate interests, that y'all talking about something that you both feel peace about. Like your mother. Believe it or not, and there is something that you and your mother can join on if y'all wanted to. There really is. And rather than you try to figure it out or her try to figure it out, you're supposed to ask. You're supposed to ask, Holy Spirit, how should I respond to my mother?
But take it on a bigger. I mean, I understand that, and understand that you and who you are is going to make the difference. But on a bigger scope, shouldn't you also take action for world peace? I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but you should still...
You should ask what you should do. You should, and then whatever Spirit tells you to do. Because I'm taking action for world peace by the fact that I'm not attacking nobody.
Right.
Okay. So actually I am doing my part for world peace. But if Spirit told me join the Peace Corps, then I join the Peace Corps.
Okay,
but not unless God told me to join the Peace Corps. Now, how could I tell if God was asking me to join the Peace Corps? Very simple. I wanted to join the Peace Corps, and I would join the Peace Corps, and I wouldn't feel like it was a sacrifice to be eating the Beatles. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, Beatles, they put a little ketchup on there. I'm all right tonight, you know. You can tell when the Corps says it's very simple. When the ego is telling you to do something, there's always a sense of sacrifice. And when Spirit is telling you to do something, you don't feel it's a sacrifice. The father that works 70 hours a week to take care of his family, who loves his family, does not go at the end of the week, damn it, I work 70 hours a week for y'all and I hated it. I hate I got to do 70 hours. He would never say that. He would never, to him, that would be like, I'm glad I'm able to provide for my family, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the father is doing the exact same thing, but he resents his family. That is not love. He's just doing the duty. And that's good. I'm glad he's doing his duty. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying we have to learn the difference between when we're listening to the voice for love and when we're listening to the voice of fear. Of course, that's all this book is trying to do. Because once you know the difference, then you're going to make the right choice, because you're intelligent enough to make the right choice. The once you clear to see the alternatives, and nobody has to make you, you know, it's not hard. You know what I'm saying? You know, I want to make a recording. This is the recorder. These are eyeglasses. You can record with this, but you can't record with that. Well, you say enough to go, okay, what should be that? But if I didn't know the difference between a recorder and eyeglasses, and somebody told me the eyeglasses were a recorder, I would be very angry right now, because I'd go home and get ready to download these glasses and couldn't get them. Okay, and that's what the Course is, again, that's what the Course is telling us. It's saying, if your life is a struggle and nothing is going, you're doing that, you think the glasses are the recorder. You're not seeing things correctly. You don't know the difference between what you want and what you don't want. Real love, you know. It's like now if I'm talking to somebody, I know whether or not, from a mental perspective anyway, whether or not they love me. I don't have to ask them. I might ask them, but I know. Because the Course has taught me how to tell the difference between love and fear. So I also know they could think they love me. So I'm not going to hold that against them. They could mean with all their heart, I love you. But if I'm talking to someone and I'm talking about let's share love, and then at no level is anybody else going to be included in that, then that's specialness. Then I know it's not real love, so I know at some point we could lose that. Because when somebody's awake, they're going to always want to include everybody. They're going to say stuff like, you know, I really want to create prosperity and abundance for myself, and I really want it to benefit the whole planet. They'll always, somehow or another, they'll work everybody else into the statement. Just watch them. They're going to do, you know, if you tell them they love you, love them, they'll say,
And you also want to love everybody else too, right? And I'm meeting those kind of people because they won't believe me if I don't include everybody else. Where in the old paradigm, I better say it's not going to be nobody else. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I was to say there was going to be somebody else, you wouldn't be interested in me whatsoever. You know, just walk into a room as a man and go, hey, I want to love all of y'all, and see how many people, women, walk up to you later. That's the last thing somebody in the world, a woman in the world, want to hear, that you're going to love everybody, because we associate love and sex and love in the body. So that's my specialist thing, you know, that you're talking about right now. But love doesn't require anything. It's not anything to do with the body. Even though the body is one of the ways you can let it come through, but it has nothing to do with the body. We hear that all the time, but we don't put that truth, like I said, we don't put that truth ahead of the illusion. Because my body is my most special possession. It's the one I'm most attached to. So whatever I do with my body carries a whole lot of weight, right? Mm-hmm. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So when you're around somebody that your body is insignificant, you don't know what to do with them. If nothing about the specialness is significant to them, there's nothing that you have impresses them. Your body doesn't impress them. He's like you got to get really real with a person like that, because none of the ego illusions move them. So you got to come to the only thing that's going to satisfy them is real communication. You showing up completely authentic. Now that's going to move them. Your stuff isn't going to move them. Your body isn't going to move them. But the safety you present, the authenticity you present, and that's what I'm learning in this new world that I'm in simultaneously with the other one, is that even if I wanted to play my games that my ego used to play, they won't work with these people. So it makes you mad. They won't be manipulated. They won't allow you to guilt trip them into doing what you kind of guilt trip them, they move away from you. They less do what you want them to do. And back in the day, I could put such a good guilt trip on somebody and they'd be giving in about 5 minutes. I remember that, Earl, because you attract people who make you think that works. Mm-hmm. Because they also want to use it. So they'll act like they gave in to your anger. And your ego says, see, it worked. And again, the reason I love when people ask questions, because what you said about your mother, it represents everybody. So if she's trying to get you back into the old thought system, of course she's gonna escalate. Because you used to cave in. So therefore it seems natural to her that if she just raised the temperature, you would give in. So what happens is, if you keep doing this, I guarantee you, some things I know from doing this 28 years, and I'd be trying to tell people in these classes, and I hope y'all hear it and save yourself a lot of time. If you don't respond, she's going to have to change. If you don't let her cave you in, and that, then at some point she'll go, her mind will go, this doesn't work. And the Course says the mind always stops doing something that doesn't work. That the mind doesn't stop doing something because it's bad. And it doesn't stop doing something because it makes you feel guilty. We all know that. How many things we do all the time we feel guilty about? So get down, bad. Oh, this is bad. It's bad to drink. And then, you know, you can't wait to get to the little stuff. You know what I'm saying? Bad doesn't do it. You know what I'm saying? But if someone says to you, it will not work to try to crank your car up with this recorder, it won't work. And you realize it won't work, you'll never pick a recorder up again to try to start your car. But if I say it's bad to try to start your car with a recorder, then you get into the moral stuff about it. And that's a delaying maneuver. But if you get that, won't work. And so when your mother gets that attacking you absolutely doesn't work with you, she will stop using it. But if you try to convince her that she's wrong in talking that way, I'm just talking hypothetically.
Yeah, no, I'm totally.
If any of that stuff doesn't work on people, they just have to know it doesn't work. You have to not let it work. And most people cave in the beginning because they want to be loved. And they don't want to make people mad. And they got insecurities within themselves. Have I done it? We've all probably done it. You know? And so when you can stop letting the person think that the way that they're treating you is going to get them what they want, that's when they stop. But as long as they think it's going to somehow work, they're going to keep doing it. And you're teaching them that it works if you give in and compromise and you know it's not what you really want to do in your heart. Okay?
Mm-hmm. But it's great to be able to step up and look at, like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
and share it, and realize that you used to react.
That's right. And your kids, and you got it. And your kids reflected that back to you.
Get into it, yes. And then really step back. Even my kids said, Mom.
Yeah. And you got to do the same, but you got to do the same thing with your kids, too. You got to do the exact same thing with your kids. You got to also not let them guilt trip you into doing something that you don't want to. Because kids are good, but they're as good as mamas.
Yeah.
Okay, so they, you know, they'll be, you know, they can see it what you did with your mama. But when they got their particular thing that they want, they're not going to be so conscious with you. They're going to become your mama. They're going to be telling you how, they're going to be telling you what you did wrong and what you need to do different, and you're not a good mama because you're not letting them have the latest Nintendo or whatever it is that they want. Yeah, and that's what I had to watch, because I think sometimes I think your kids can get to even more than your parents.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, at least that's my experience. That's like when all else fails, talk to my son. Okay. He's like that emergency glass for my ego, you know. Like that emergency fire hole, fire bank. It's like I need to feel guilty today. Earl Jr., you know. I know who to call. You know, and then I realized that that's just a perception that I'm dealing with, that I projected on him. I don't even know what he looks like as long as I have any sense of separation or misperception. I don't even know what most of the people in my life are like. All I know is how I feel about them. And that's all. I don't really know what you're like. I got an opinion of all of you, but it's really my reaction to you that I'm dealing with, not who you are. And it shocks you when you start taking the judgment away, and you can tell because you ask people questions. That's a hint. You'll go, and I said, like sometimes you go out, like I meet a lot of new people, and you go out, and if it was a male female thing, and you go out, the temptation is to want to impress or to be very interesting instead of being interested. It's interested you must be, not interesting. And so I would be, you know, you'd be thinking stuff and, you know, how to make the best connection or impression or whatever your ego is saying. And then the Holy Spirit says, what? I'm figuring this out. I'll ask you after I've made up my mind what to do. Just be patient. I'll get to you next. I'm going to decide the best path, and you're supposed to tell me how to do it, okay? That's our deal. I don't go to you straight off, you know. And Spirit said, why don't you just ask anything you want to know? How do you feel about this? Or how do you feel about that? What's your attitude about relationship? What are you looking for in a relationship? What's your attitude about sexuality? What do you feel about social life? What upsets you most in a relationship? What would you like to have in one? And when I meet somebody and I know I'm not that person because everything they're saying that I don't do, it's just real easy. Like, oh, I know I'm not. Well, by the process of elimination, I know it's not me. Okay? Because they were honest, right? Uh-huh. Then what you do is, Spirit, and the next thing you do is you tell that person, then you are there to help them attract that person that they want. So I'm not that man for you, but I can be a loving experience of a man. They can increase your trust factor around men and allow you to draw to you in the form that's best for you, the man that would be best for you. So we can use our relationship to actually create the relationship you want. But I'm not him. You know, but this is how we can join. And you just try stuff like that, and people will go, first of all, they relax because now they feel like it's not going to be no misunderstandings in the relationship. And so they can just go ahead and enjoy you. Because you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But unless you had, plus they're shocked that you were a man and you were listening. That's the first thing they go. You asked them to listen to what I want. Well, that's kind of like how you know what to do. Or not to do. Either one. You know? And then all of a sudden your relationship has this real healthy start that's built on something that's real. And so therefore my relationships with females as well as male, they're totally transforming now. Because the more I know who I am, the more honest I can be. And so therefore it's not a deceptive relationship. And what's the biggest complaint? Well, you know, men lie. You know, women lie. You know what I'm saying? That's just so much just a regular relationship. Really, that's what it is. We're scared to trust. But that's because nobody's asking questions. And then even if you ask the question, the person not telling the truth,
I'm telling you, if you know yourself, they still can't take advantage of you. It's not necessary for them to be telling the truth, for you to still be safe. Because you know what you would do. So what? It doesn't matter. And then if you're willing to take responsibility, if you go, okay, I'm accepting what he's saying is the truth. It might not be true, but I'm accepting it is the truth, and I'm going to deal with him as if it's the truth. And then whatever comes out of that, you'll still be able to forgive yourself because you took responsibility from the very beginning. Because you went, okay, I'm responsible. It was a great lesson in that or whatever. But I'm not a victim of this person. I consciously decided to trust them. So there's nothing to forgive them for.
Right.
You see? And then, and that's how you get rid of having all these grievances to overcome, by not making them in the first place, by having unrealistic expectations of the person that you're with, by not asking questions and knowing who you are. So that's my little tip for the day before we go out into the lab. Because I love you and appreciate you, and I want you to have fun and learn things and remember who you are, and I hope you run into a lot of people that recognize you. Okay? Well, tomorrow night at 7:00. 1:00.